This episode of the Children's Literature Podcast is brought to you by Mac and Cheese. Mac and Cheese. For those nights when you just can't deal with hearing, "What's that?" when you put the food on the table. Welcome to the Children's Literature Podcast. I'm your host, TQ Townsend. This episode is called Hobbit, Human, and Goblin Songs in The Hobbit. This is the last of a three-part series on the songs in The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien. The first two parts covered the music of the elves and the dwarves, and this time I'll round up the rest of the songs in the book. In each episode, I've tried to come up with a melody for a song, basing the rhythm on the meter Tolkien used for the lyrics, and trying to follow the style described in the text of The Hobbit. I got a couple of very kind letters about my musical experiments, which have been posted to the podcast's YouTube page so that teachers, parents, and general readers of the book can use them however they like. I plan to use the YouTube channel for mainly short videos that would be useful in school lessons or while reading books aloud to children. A while ago, I did an episode on the music in The Trumpet of the Swan by E.B. White. I made recorded versions of the songs that weren't under copyright or already easy to find online, and you can find those at childrensliteraturepodcast.com/music. However, I think it might also be helpful to put them in a playlist on YouTube, as this will make it easier for teachers and parents to find and use them when reading The Trumpet of the Swan with their kids. If you have suggestions about how I can make resources like this easier for you to use, please do let me know. You can reach me at letters@childrensliteraturepodcast.com. Every time I read The Hobbit, I really enjoy watching Bilbo literally find his voice. He begins the book hardly able to speak when adventures begin unfolding around him, but gradually his wits are sharpened by many difficulties and threats. At first, he haltingly is able to spit out words when they're needed. He's sometimes clumsy, and his words aren't perfect, but they get the job done. By the end, when he returns home a victorious, wealthy, and worldly adventurer, he eloquently summons the poem, "Roads Go Ever, Ever On," causing the wizard Gandalf to declare, "You are not the hobbit that you were." In The Hobbit, Bilbo Baggins only sings twice, and this is part of his early stumbling efforts to use his words as weapons, to save not only his life, but those of his friends. His skills are immature, and so are the songs. When the traveling party enters Mirkwood, the 12 dwarves are all captured by enormous spiders. Bilbo is able to escape, and he uses his magic ring to become invisible. He sees a group of giant spiders about to gobble up his friends. Bilbo is no warrior, and he never will be, but he relies on the skills he does have. He's good at games like darts and bowling, which require good aim, so he grabs some stones and begins chucking them at the spiders and taunting them with his disembodied voice. The first song has a rhythm that reminds me of songs I used to sing on the playground while jumping rope. It also has some really cool old words in it. The term attercop is an old English word for spider, which means poison head, and is the cousin of modern words like the Norwegian edderkop and Danish edderkop. Tom noddy is an awesome old British word that means big dummy, and might be used in the same way as such eloquent playground slurs as stupid head. When I read about Bilbo dashing around the enormous forest, calling out his taunting song, this is the melody I hear in my head.
Old fat spider spinning in a tree. Old fat spider can't see me. Attercup, won't you stop? Stop your spinning and look for me. Old Tom Noddy, all big body. Old Tom Noddy can't spy me. Attercup, down you drop. You'll never catch me up your tree.
I imagine that the song might not be sung very well, as poor Bilbo would be out of breath from running and his heart would be pounding with fear of the spiders and for his friends. The narrative voice in The Hobbit is kindly apologetic about the song, saying it's, quote, not very good, perhaps, but then you must remember that he had to make it up himself on the spur of a very awkward moment, end quote. This song is silly and childish and sung out of pure desperation, but it works. Tolkien writes of Bilbo's effect on the spiders. When about 50 had gone off to the place where he had stood before, he threw some more stones at these, and at others that had stopped behind. Then, dancing among the trees, he began to sing a song to infuriate them and bring them all after him, and also to let the dwarves hear his voice. Bilbo's voice is likely high, both due to his small size and the use of the adjective squeaking to describe him. He uses his little voice well, though, successfully distracting and infuriating the spiders with another song. The meter for these lyrics is trochaic tetrameter, which sounds like one and two and three and four and. The lyrics also make great use of Old English words like lob, which means dangler, and cob, which is a short form of attercup.
Lazy lobbed, crazy cob are weaving webs to wind me. I'm far more sweet than other meat, but still they cannot find me. Here am I, naughty little fly. You are fat and lazy. You cannot trap me though you try in your cobwebs crazy.
Bilbo might be small, and he might not be typical hero material, but he uses his skills very well, and it's enough for him to scrape by. These silly, taunting songs are enough to send the spiders off on a frantic search for the rude, invisible rock thrower, and this buys just enough time for Bilbo to save his friends and run away. Humans sing only one song in The Hobbit, and it reflects a very human trait, hope. After Smaug the dragon destroyed the dwarven city under the hill and the neighboring human city of Dale, the surviving people made their home on the lake nearby, where the water offered a little protection from dragon fire. Tolkien repeatedly indicates that in Middle-earth, history is preserved through song. This makes sense because in medieval societies, most people were illiterate, and songs provided a way to transmit the memory of both real and mythological events down through the generations. Words are easier to remember when they use rhythm, rhyme, and melody, and singing together gave people the chance to bond over shared cultural memories and even prophetic hopes for the future. When the people of Lake Town see that the dwarves have come home, they begin to sing a song about the prophesied return of the king under the mountain, and the narrator says that it, quote, rolled loud and high over the lake, end quote. The performance is unplanned and a bit chaotic, sung with harps and fiddles mixed in. This spontaneous community concert is performed with great excitement and even occasional shouting. The singers wouldn't be in perfect time or harmony, but their joy would be impossible to mistake. I gave this song a shot and tried to recreate the sounds that Tolkien describes in the book, with people of all ages coming together to celebrate this moment.
Can go away?
Is he really bad?
The king beneath the mountains, the king of carven stone, the lord of silver fountains shall come into his own. His
This song had been used to preserve shreds of hope in the people living a hard scrabble life on the artificial island in the middle of the lake, within sight of the ruined city that their great-grandparents had lived in. And it gave them the ability to collectively express the excitement and anxiety and joy that they might be able to regain their homeland, free from the threat of dragonfire. This is the same reason that human beings all over the world have funeral songs, religious hymns, national anthems, and even songs for sports teams. Singing together is often the only way to express the feelings required of certain moments, and the hymn of the people of Lake Town is a perfect example of such a moment. Tolkien didn't have to be a musician to adore music, and he wrote songs into his tales of Middle-earth whenever he could. Within his fictional universe, the world itself was literally summoned into existence through the song of gods called Ainur. Their music is the foundation of reality itself, and all good creatures in Middle-earth instinctively love to sing. But what happens when evil creatures sing? Tolkien wrote in The Lord of the Rings that evil, quote, can only mock, it cannot make, not real new things of its own, end quote. To use a metaphor I can relate to, evil in Tolkien's fictional world is like rust on the bumper of a 1969 Camaro Supersport. The rust can only corrupt something good, and without that good thing, it can't exist on its own. Which brings me to goblin songs. And I hesitate to call them songs at all. The goblins, or orcs as they're called in the Elvish language, are corruptions of what were once elves. And the sounds they make are a mockery of music. At first, when I read the lyrics to goblin songs, I grew frustrated because I couldn't figure out the poetic meter. And then it hit me. You big dummy, I said to myself. There isn't a meter because this is a corruption of music. Tolkien's genius move was not to create a style for goblin lyrics, but to mangle the styles used by the uncorrupted creatures of Middle-earth. Goblin songs are full of harsh sounds like k, p, ch, and sh. The words fit together roughly, like sharp pieces of broken pottery that were poorly glued back together. In the song Burn, Burn, Tree, and Fern, the number of lines in each verse changes, and rhythmic patterns for lines are seemingly switched up at random.
Burn, burn, tree and fern, shrivel and scorch a fizzling torch to light the night for our delight, yahay! Bake 'em and toast 'em, fry 'em and roast 'em, till beards blaze and eyes glaze, till hair smells and skins crack, fat melts and bones black in cinders lie beneath the sky, so dwarves shall die and light the night for our delight. Ya hey, ya hurry hey, ya hoy.
There's rhythm within individual lines here, but the beat abruptly and constantly changes, making it impossible to get into any kind of groove. Clap Snap is very similar. This is a song with no identifiable time signature or clearly defined stanzas. Tolkien says that the song is not so much sung as croaked, and it's accompanied not by elven harps or dwarven drums, but by the flap of flat goblin feet and the cracks of their whips.
Clap, snap, the black crack, grip, grab, pinch, nab. And down, down to Goblin Town you go, my lad. Clash, crash, crush, smash, hammer and tongs, knocker and gongs, pound, pound far underground. Ho, ho, my lad. Swish, smack, whip, crack, batter and beat, yammer and bleat. Work, work, nor dare to shirk, while goblins quaff and goblins laugh round and round far underground below, my lad.
The goblins do sing one song with a clear sense of rhythm and rhyme. 15 Birds is a taunting song, sung when the dwarves and the hobbit have climbed up into some trees to get beyond the reach of the goblins and their wolves. The words don't follow any exact poetic meter, but they fit in a 4/4 time signature and are arranged in three couplets.
15 birds in 5 fir trees. Their feathers were fanned in a fiery breeze. But funny little birds, they had no wings. Oh, what shall we do with the funny little things? Roast 'em alive or stew them in a pot. Fry them, boil them, and eat them hot.
Despite there being some actual structure, this song can only be used to deliver a horrible message. Goblin songs can only ever be a mockery of music. They can never be pleasant to hear. I've heard some people say that they wish Tolkien had written official melodies for his songs, or at least given his blessing to someone else's compositions. I don't feel this way at all. The lyrics in The Hobbit aren't missing their tunes. Tolkien intentionally left them out, which makes room for readers to create their own piece of the story. Whether you're a professional musician, a music teacher, a parent reading to a child, or a kid reading The Hobbit for the very first time, you should try writing melodies for the songs yourself. They can be very simple, or they can be the somewhat rough experimental tracks I've produced for you in these three episodes. And of course, there are professional interpretations which are well worth listening to. The best-known work has been done by the Tolkien Ensemble, which consists of classically trained musicians performing in very traditional artistic settings. But I'm also fond of an album called From Wilderland to Western Shore, which sings Tolkien's music in a bluegrass style. My musical experiments here have been designed to follow what's written in the book as closely as possible, but there are no limits on how Tolkien's lyrics can be interpreted. It would be really cool to hear the riddles in the dark shared between Bilbo and Gollum done up as a rap battle, or to hear Elvin's song done in a lo-fi electronica style. But however these songs are sung, they should be sung whenever possible. In the world of Middle-earth, music is used to transmit history, tell the fame of great heroes and villains, express local culture. It's even used as currency. It's true. When Bilbo returns home after his lengthy adventure, he finds his household items being auctioned off, and some of the purchases are made with old songs. The last words spoken by Thorin Oakenshield to Bilbo are about music. This dwarf spent his whole life fighting to regain his homeland and treasure, and while he's victorious in the last battle to reclaim his property, he's mortally wounded. As he lays dying, he finally realizes that he can't take any of it with him. Not the gold, not his royal title, and certainly not the Lonely Mountain itself. Only in this moment does he see what really matters. If more of us valued food and cheer and song above hoarded gold, he confesses to Bilbo, it would be a merrier world. To Tolkien, music was as precious as food and happiness itself. And I think we'll all see how true this is when we perform the most important music there is, the songs we sing to the kids in our lives. You've been listening to the Children's Literature Podcast. Please subscribe and leave a rating. Send comments to letters@childrensliteraturepodcast.com. I'm your host, TQ Townsend. Thanks for listening.